All right, let me jump into the opening monologue for the day, the Right Side Way monologue. And look, a crazy story just broke in the last few days about a squirrel. You heard me. It's a crazy story about a squirrel. Look, I'm going to tell you a story about squirrels and men, of squirrels and men. His name, the squirrel, was Peanut, and he was an internet sensation. You notice I'm speaking in past tense? A guy named Mark Longo lives in New York State. Longo adopted Peanut the squirrel when he found him orphaned as a baby and raised him as a pet for the past 7 years. 7 years. Keep that part in mind. Peanut the squirrel was trained, he was happy, and he was living in Mark's house. They had a constant presence on social media, hundreds of thousands of followers. And then the state of New York decided Peanut had to go. On an anonymous tip, law enforcement officials from the State Department of Conservation got a judge to actually sign a warrant, and they raided Longo's house and detained he and his wife. They seized their pet squirrel and a pet raccoon named Fred, and they euthanized him. Let that sink in. You got illegal immigrants, you got drag queen story hours, street crimes, urban decay, but the state of New York, run by Democrats, was able to convince a judge that a happy squirrel was a threat to law and order, so they seized him and they killed him. And the outrage has literally gone viral. Like, viral. So, Peanut was the best thing that ever happened to us, Longo told TMZ in an interview over the weekend. He said, it not only tears my family apart, but Peanut was the cornerstone of our nonprofit animal rescue, he said. He said, and then 10 to 12 DEC officers raided my house as if I was a drug dealer. I sat outside my house for 5 hours. I had to get a police escort to go to my bathroom. I wasn't even allowed to feed my rescue horses. I sat there like a criminal after they interrogated my wife to check her immigration status. There's so much in there. 5 hours. 5 hours. What were they looking for? It was a squirrel. And then on top of that, they're questioning his wife about her immigration status. They don't care about immigration status. And then on top of that, they sent 10 to 12 officers to raid his house about a squirrel? Well, the Department of Conservation was asked what sparked the raid on Longo's house, and they merely replied that anonymous reports had indicated that wildlife was potentially at risk and being kept illegally. Well, it was a rescue farm. It's where they cared for abandoned and mistreated animals. And they had a website, and they had a huge social media following that clearly showed animals were loving life with people that loved them back. In fact, the business was even named after their squirrel, Peanut's Freedom Farm. And over time, they have rescued over 350 animals and nursed them all back to health. Longo said that he's very concerned now about the future viability of the rescue farm because Peanut's social media followers were a big part of the revenue they relied upon to run the facility. Mark Longo, in a separate interview he did with the AP, said, "Honestly, it still feels kind of surreal that the state that I live in actually targeted me and took out two of the most beloved animals on this planet. Didn't even quarantine them. They just took them away from my house and killed them." It's unbelievable. Well, Peanut the squirrel has become the rallying cry for people who believe that government is run amok. For people who believe that government does what government does and we're just supposed to sit there and be quiet. Well, how about no? How about good folks need to stand up, push back, because the story of Peanut the squirrel is really about two things. It's about the human interest story about a guy who had his beloved pet taken from him. But it's also about a big government run by big government bureaucrats whose priorities are no longer about serving the people who pay taxes to support the government. Thomas Jefferson once said, "The natural progress of things is for liberty to yield and to government to gain ground." Meaning that as government gets bigger, the citizens get smaller. Liberties begin to take second place to government's desire to prove its own self-worth and reasons for existence. There's a famous quote that was attributed to multiple speakers over time, including Ronald Reagan, that says, "A government big enough to give you everything you want is a government big enough to take away everything you have." Well said. And now we know this can be applied to your pets. No matter how much you love them, care for them, and rely on them, if big government has a concern, then big government believes it has a right to your pets. Look, I've said before, I am not one of those who believes that all government is bad. I know that government has a purpose. But when government gets so big that it becomes more of an impediment to progress, more of an impediment to quality of life, then you have to ask whether big government means little citizens. When we find ourselves fully dependent on government, then there's little incentive, there's little drive, there's little fulfillment, there's only expectation and a sense that we're entitled. And with entitlement, all we do is demand. We no longer create. We are required then to exist off the revenues that are collected by government. And guess where they get those from? Right. Well, for those who still try to produce in that environment, to thrive, to create, the government must have more from you, while also creating more regulations to tell you how, when, and where you will provide for the government, so the government can then give those to the entitled individuals who have chosen the government as their first resort. It's a self-licking ice cream cone, my friends. One of my favorite authors is Oswald Sanders. In a work that was actually designed to teach about Christian leadership, but it applies in any category, Sanders once said this. He said, "The spirit of the welfare state does not produce leaders. If a person is not willing to rise early and work late, to expend greater effort in diligent study and faithful work, that person will not change a generation." He says, "Fatigue is the price of leadership. Mediocrity is the result of never getting tired." Let that soak in, my friends. Fatigue is the price of leadership. Mediocrity is the result of never getting tired. Look, I don't want the U.S. to be a mediocre country. I don't want Alabama to be a mediocre state. We should never desire to be a nation of low-level producers who reach out to government for the next stimulus check, the next handout, the next excuse why I don't have to work. A nation where productivity is stymied by so many regulations that folks just give up trying. Where taxation becomes so onerous that people choose not to produce just to avoid government reaching in their wallets again. A nation where anonymous miscreants can call the state and claim that your beloved pet is somehow a threat to the well-ordered society and then come and seize it and even kill it. If we get to the point that people cannot exist without government, it will only be because we have forgotten that government actually cannot survive without the people. Then we are just like that proverbial self-licking ice cream cone I just mentioned, just existing for the never-ending loop of mediocrity, living off what the government gives us while in turn feeding an ever-growing government. So yeah, I'm a conservative for a number of reasons, one of which is limited government. I don't balk at government existing. I don't rail against the machine and believe that all elected officials are corrupt, because I know they're not. But I do believe that too much government is never best. For us to win as a nation, we must have the will of the people, not the will of the government. Government should exist solely to ensure that liberty survives, to free up the private citizen to go build the better mousetrap, to set the parameters for national growth, to make options available, not mandates. Liberal progressives, they believe that the American spirit's a myth, that government knows best, that you exist for the benefit of government, not the other way around. Liberal progressives believe that government should always be the first resort when you face a personal hardship, not your family, your church, your community, and certainly not your own self-determination. It's only the government that can rescue you. Well, listen, for the past few years, under the Biden-Harris administration, we have lived under more government regulation and interaction with our personal lives than perhaps ever in the history of our nation. And recent developments indicate that big government advocates have no intention of slowing their roll. But like so many of you listening right now, yes, I am a conservative. I believe in limited government. A government that is responsive, to be sure, but one that is also not in the way. I'm a conservative, so I believe in a limited government that allows freedom of movement, one that sets the stage for success and then steps back and applauds when the private sector just knocks another one right out of the park. I'm a conservative, and I believe in the satisfaction that comes from enduring, from creating, from achieving, from trying, from failing, from trying again, and succeeding through effort, real effort, not big government entitlements or stifling regulations. I also believe that nobody should ever be allowed again to make an anonymous call about someone's pet and see big government reach in their house and raid the house and take their pet and just put it down. It's a mess. Limited government. Just one reason I choose to be a conservative. And I say go vote. Go vote for what brings us a more limited government. Do it for Peanut the Squirrel. And that's a wrap for The Right Side Way.